Welcome to The Benchcast with your host, the man whose business is benching, Coach Ben.
We got Arnold prep coming up for many of our lifters, so I'm super pumped about that. And we have awesome news from Bill, Dr. Duke. He crushed his meet, went 3 for 3, hit another bench PR after doing a meet just a month ago. He set state records across the board, and he ended up with a 320 bench, or 319 and change to be exact, in kilos. So, hey, kudos to Dr. Duke, really making some huge strides here in his powerlifting, and very excited to see what he can do this upcoming year. So I'm pumped for that. But hey, Coach Steph, what's going on this morning? You want to rattle off some wins? You're our win rattler.
I'm ready to do it. Yeah, I was going to ask you about Bill. He's like he competed like 5 minutes ago, hit a bunch of PRs, and like hit more this week. And that's so awesome.
Yeah, he's really crushing it lately. I'm proud of that.
I love to hear it. That's exactly the energy that we need. Now we got the Arnold coming up, so I'm looking forward to see how everybody does. I feel like everybody's been crushing it. I saw Adam actually posted that he's been feeling healthy. He's killing his meat prep, and he touched with the lightest weight he has, like ever, in that shirt. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Adam's a baller. He's going to crush it this time around. Very excited for him.
And then we also have Brad posted a cool one too. I loved it. He's been, I know that he's been like dieting and all that stuff. So he posted a picture of his physique progress, and he's getting a little bit more of like a V taper. And I thought that was like pretty dope. That's a significant process, a progress. Wow. Some significant progress from Brad. And he's been like, you know, keeping us up to date on that over the past couple of months, over the past couple of weeks. And I'm really impressed with his consistency and the work that he's been putting in, because he's still also getting stronger at the same time. So I thought that was very cool and impressive.
Yeah, big shout out to Brad. He had an awesome post on his Instagram. I don't know if he posted anywhere else, but man, that, you know, so posts like that take some vulnerability just to be able to be open. And you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. I've certainly had a hard time sharing, you know, past results and things like that. But Brad's absolutely been crushing it. And I'm glad he made that post, because you just see the work he's been putting in. It's really incredible. So big shout out.
Absolutely. Love to see it. And then we, let's see. So Brandon Densmore, he's got a meet coming up too. Everyone has a meet coming up. So he posted, this one was really cool too, that he hit a bench press, like an 8 RPE, 385, I believe. And his meet best was 363, if I am not mistaken. And I thought that was pretty awesome. So, and he's still got a couple of weeks left to the meet. I think he's competing like April 13th. So he's got like, he's got a while, and he's already like really crushing it. So shout out to him as well.
Shout out to B. Densmore. Yeah, he's got a meet coming up in April. It's just meet season, you know? Weather's getting good. Got some big meets on the horizon. So it's exciting times.
Yep. And then let's see. What else do we have? Jeremy. So he got 30 minutes of 60 minutes of cardio in. Shout out to Jeremy. He's better than me. It's way more cardio than I've done. So that cardiovascular health is important too.
Damn, Jeremy, that's some cardio. 60 minutes. Do you do anything when you're doing that? You like listen to a podcast, you watch a video, or you just straight up gangsta on the treadmill there?
I usually listen to, you know, some like Power Project or
Smart. Cool, smart man. Some efficiency.
Yeah, I got to get on that. But shout out to Jeremy for allotting 60 minutes of because cardiovascular health is definitely important. So it's not just weights. It's everything else that goes into it. Right? So shout out to him. And then the next few are pretty cool. So everybody in the team has been hitting volume PR. So we have Latif, he had a squat PR 418 for a double. Kristen hit 250 squat for a triple, previously had done like 245. Jaren also hit a 550 for two on the Hatfield squat. So I think that's really cool. It's not just about hitting the max and stuff like that, because like those triples, those doubles, even the 5 rep PRs, also another determinant of like strength. And if you can do that for five, then for sure your 1 rep max has definitely gone up. So don't sleep on those guys. Those are just as important as the other ones. So shout out to everybody on the team. It's like the programming works. I love it.
Work, everyone.
And then we also, this one I love too, because I love hearing when like a heavier weight, a weight that you had trouble with, feels lighter. So Andrew hit a 230 squat for an 8 RPE. And I absolutely love that. I absolutely love hitting a weight that used to crush me in the past and then feels like a 7 or an 8. So shout out to Andrew, because I feel like every week, some weights that he either like made me mentally or physically was struggling with. Right, he is feeling lighter each time, and it's just simply been a matter of. And I've been reading his comments that he was like, "Oh, I applied this technique that Coach Brad told me, and it made the weight feel lighter." So sometimes you do have the strength; it's just a matter of maybe applying a taking a different approach or a different technique to make the heavy weight feel light. Those are definitely some of my favorite types of PRs. So shout out to Andrew for really applying those concepts and absolutely crushing it. So and Coach Brad for breaking it down in a way that makes sense, that makes the application that much more seamless.
Nice work, guys. Yeah, a lot of times I see lifters butt their heads against the wall trying to hit a new PR when really their technique, what they're how they're approaching the form just won't really allow them to add more weight, or it'll just make it tremendously difficult. Whereas they can just make some form changes, boom, ceiling's up here now. So love that. Yeah, Andrew has been crushing it since the boot camp. One of the OG from the last boot camps. Same with Alan, and Randy. All you guys have been absolutely crushing it. It's been really cool to see you go from that transition from the boot camp, just focusing in on bench and coming into the program, applying all these new techniques, working with Brad, and just absolutely crushing it. And Andrew's got his first meet coming up, so I'm pumped about that. So a lot of good things happening. All right, good
And
vibes. Is that what we got? Go ahead.
I got one more. This one's for me. I have been waking up at, and I'm not a morning person. I've been waking up at 6 a.m. to walk my dogs, and I did it in the snow. In the snow, okay? In the snow, I cleaned up dog poop, right? And all of this stuff. But I've been trying to get on more of a routine. So I've been walking them twice a day, rain or shine, but apparently it's been snowing here, so snow or shine. So shout out to me for being a better dog mom. This is a big deal.
Very
That's
good
it.
stuff. And that's the only one that you're going to mention out of all your wins
I
this
mean,
week.
I did have one more. I finally hit that 300 squat. No, squat, I wish. 300 bench. 300 bench.
300, 303, mind you.
Right, to be exact, at Big Benches HQ. It was probably not going to happen anywhere else. And I actually posted this in the group. So I'm really pumped about the win, but it was a little lesson that I learned during that win, was that I was being way too conservative with my warm-ups. And that was
Oh, yeah.
probably up mentally, because you had me do like bigger jumps. And I think before, like I think the idea of getting to like 270, the idea of getting to 300 was kind of getting in my head. So I think going forward with my training, I'm gonna kind of revert, like hit, think of a number that I want to hit for my top set, and then kind of reverse engineer that in a sense of like having more efficient warm-ups so that I can conserve my energy, and then also like kind of have like mentally prepare myself for the heavier weight, because I notice that once it gets over like 250, I start thinking too much. So that was again a big win for me. I can't wait to do it in competition, so I'm pumped about that. But another win in the sense of like I took something away from it that I feel is going to be very valuable in my training, like going forward now that I am officially a 300-pound bencher and I have to start acting like it. That's what you said here, 300-pound bencher stuff. Stop warming up with 185. And thank you for that because I needed to hear
Yeah,
that.
you can't come into the HQ and not level up. We don't allow that. So very good. Yeah, Steph was I asked her, I was like, all right, so what are we gonna first warm up? What are you typically taking here? And when you getting in the shirt? So I was trying to plan out. We had a pretty good crew. This is one of the bigger crews that we had over in a while. And yeah, she and by the way, anyone who wants to come over, fly down, drive up, whatever you want to do, come over to the HQ. Hefe comes by. I've had lifters from the team come from Oklahoma, come from California. So if you want to come by at any point in time, we can make a weekend of it. We can film some stuff. We can lift a lot. It'll be a good time. So anytime you guys want to come by, we can get something on schedule. But that being said, Steph said 180. I said, excuse me, you're a 300-pound bencher now. I didn't think I told her 300 yet because I knew she was going over 3 that day. I didn't tell her, though, because I didn't want her thinking about it. But I said, nah, we're going 220. Put 220 on the bar. So she was getting ready to put her 180, and I was like, nah, red, green. And she came up and crushed it. So I knew it was just – she had to just kind of – with the people around, and I have a nice cushy bench. I'm sure that felt good too, Steph, having that nice cushy bench. But yeah, she absolutely crushed it. I knew you were capable of 300. It was just putting it all together. So really cool.
It
And
was the bench, right? The bench. And I couldn't do math in kilos. So I couldn't get in my head about what was on the bar. So shout out to my lack of mathematical skills and that bench and Coach Ben.
it's nice when someone else can manage that because I can't process kilos by just looking at it or thinking it either. So if someone else can just tell me, it's like I can bypass what the weight is. So I don't think I'm ever going to convert. I originally got the kilos in the gym because I wanted to just think in kilos, but I'm too tied down to American Freedom units that I don't think it's ever just going to. I'm always going to have to math. That's never going to be programmed. So that is what it is. I'll carry my sheet around. Anyways, guys. That leads me into today's topic that we can discuss. And Darren, I want to discuss afterwards too, once we go through this at the end. If you're still around, if you can hang out, I want to discuss last week and really set you up on a good tone for this week going forward. Because
Okay.
we're leaving leveling up. This call, we're all leveling up. So let me talk about this topic here. Time efficiency in the gym. All right, let me break it down for you. This is one of the first things someone joins the team. And we do a review call. This is one of the first things I would go and dissect how the training's going. All right. How long are the training sessions? How long can the training sessions be? Are we having efficiency there? All right, because if the training's not set up in a way that works for your schedule, they're taking you too long, or you're accumulating a ton of fatigue, or it's just there's a lot of resistance with getting your training on, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. All right. So first thing I always ask is how long are your training sessions? All right. That's going to be really, really important to just analyze and see what we can adjust from there. Is more efficient training sessions are going to allow us to accumulate more training and more focused training, not just accumulate more training, but we're going to be able to maintain better focus and effort with no change in additional effort or time. All right. So I'm going to read this again to you. More efficient sessions will allow us to accumulate more training and more focused training with no change in additional effort or time. All right. So if we have a training session that's taken us 1.5, 2 hours, and there's things that we can clean up in there that are going to allow us to potentially train more or train more focused, we're going to get better. All right. Rather than just having a drag on 2-hour, 3-hour lifting session. Okay. Now, some of the things we look at, right? How long are the sessions and how long can your sessions be? Do you have a time cutoff or do you have some buffer room? All right. So, do you have somewhere to be at a certain time? Are you limited with how much you can do in there? You have to get out at a certain time, or do you have buffer time? You train at night. I can kind of train whenever I want till I have to go to bed. So understanding where you are there, like I know Court goes out to a commercial gym, probably has to be out by a certain time. I don't know. Darren trains at home. Maybe sometimes he's able to just train until he wants to. You know, he has that freedom. So do you have a time cutoff? So do we have a confined time that we're trying to fit the right pieces of the puzzle in there? How can we make that training more efficient? So if we know we have 90 minutes, how can we go about and make that time more efficient for ourselves? All right, some things that we can look at here. And if you have ideas, drop them in the chat. I want you actively engaged in this conversation. So drop them in the chat. How can we make our training more efficient? All right, think of some ideas. I got some here. Supersets. Supersets is a huge way with accessories. Yeah, Alan just said drop set supersets. Supersets are awesome for increasing your training efficiency. All right, especially when you're hitting different muscle groups, different patterns. So I could go from a dumbbell RDL to doing some kind of a quad based movement to doing some kind of a hip based movement, right? I can go from the RDL to doing some TKE squats to doing some seated abduction. Alan says rest pause. Yeah, we could even condense the work we're doing and try to add some different things like drop sets, rest pause. Steph says timing your rest, avoiding logging into social media during a session. Good. Yeah, she's already ahead of the game that I'm getting into. Supersets, definitely huge one. So if you guys aren't supersetting your accessories, that's something that can definitely help you increase efficiency. Exercise setup time is something that I was thinking about. Now, it's easier if you're going to a gym. I mean, everything's usually already pretty set up there for you, but there's some scenarios where you're training in a very specific powerlifting gym or you're training at home. And we really have to think about exercise setup time. What exercises are we bouncing from? And I'm always trying to be mindful of that when I'm programming. Am I asking someone to really set up a lot of stations if they were to superset, or can we all just do it on the cable pulley? Can we all just do this with dumbbells? So sometimes we can create more efficiency by pairing certain movements together. Are we just using dumbbells for this movement? Can I stay on the cables for this? Do I have a barbell out for a certain accessory? Can I just roll with some barbell work? And so I might have an exercise that I have to come back to the barbell later. I'll just tack that onto a superset when I have the barbell out now. So I don't have to keep yanking equipment around, you know? So can we create some efficiency there? Coach Brad says TKE squats burn like a mudda. Boston accent. Darren, unclutter your space. I love that one. Yeah, definitely unclutter your space. So listen, I'm a stickler for that. Like I don't just leave stuff around in my HQ here. I always make sure I put weights back. That's always just been something. If you're strong enough to take it out, you're strong enough to put it back. Except at a commercial gym, I got a one plate thing. Like those big movements, I always leave one plate on. Because I feel like one, everyone's probably gonna put a plate on anyway. So I'm probably actually helping them. And then also, I want to encourage people, you at least want to lift a plate, hopefully, on some of these movements. So that's my one plate rule when I'm at the commercial gym. I like to leave one plate on the machine, but that's to help people. Exercise selection based off the geography of the gym. Very good, Alan. Yeah. So, Darren, unclutter your space. You know where everything is, you can get to it easy. Alan says exercise selection based on geography of the gym. So, just no, and again, are we going to do all these accessories on a cable pulley, something like that? And when we're talking about exercise setup time too, how can we make that more efficient? Can we leave stations out if you know it's going to be in the block for a while? Like you have to set up a seal row. Can we just kind of leave a seal row in there if you're doing it regularly? What do we have to sub out? So that's a big one. When you guys are communicating with coaches, is Do we need to sub something out? Because it's very time consuming. And that's actually something that that's been popping up in recent months and recent blocks with some athletes, is we just switched some things out just because it was a lot of setup time. It was just a lot to put everything back. Now I have to set up a whole new exercise, and it's better just to sub it out, because if we think about our time efficiency in the gym, if I only have 90 minutes and 20 of that is being taken up just from setup time, I only have so much time to warm up. I only have so much time to dedicate, the bulk we want on our main movements and then accessories. Point being is we don't want to be skipping accessories. That's really why I wanted to create this in the first place, talk about time efficiency, is I don't want to be in a position where we're skipping accessories. Because drop in the chat or give me a little raise hand or whatever if you've had to skip accessories before because you've run out of time. That happens to me quite a bit. All right, and it's usually I can plan better. I'm sure it's happened to who's that happened to before? We had to skip accessories because we ran out of time. Steph says her. Anyone else? Darren, Court. Yeah, so I think we'd all agree if we didn't have to. Brad says only one is Copenhagen's. That's a purposeful skip. I think we can all agree that if we didn't skip accessories, that would only help us. So, thinking of ways we can sub things out, that's huge for time efficiency. Are we getting fatigued? All right, we got to consider, is it truly fatigue, or do we just need to push ourselves? Do we need to suck it up a little bit and be like, I just need to have the discipline here? Because a lot of time it's that too. But are we really in a place afterwards where we're just so incredibly tired that maybe even the accessory work isn't very conducive for us? There's been a lot of times with programs that I've changed how we approach drop sets to go to more of a ascending set approach. And there's been times where I've tried to put accessories on another day, or another thing you do is split sessions. You could do your main movement in the morning or at night, and then do accessories the next morning or that evening. So split sessions are a really great way if you're battling fatigue and you're not really bringing a lot of great focus to your accessory work. You can split the sessions up. Then we'll talk about distractions. Coach Steph, you want to mention some distractions you might have when you're in the gym?
Yes, absolutely. Social media is can be definitely like one of them. Like if you're in between sets and then you open up like your social media to like, like during your rest time, you could turn a 1 to 2 minute rest time easily into like a 5 to 10 minute rest time. So like and then I feel like it can also take you out of the mindset, right? You could look at something that you're upset about, like that makes you feel upset. Or you'll see a message, you'll feel like the need to answer it right away. And I feel like the training, like especially if you're like training for a meet or you have some lofty goals, you want to make sure that even when I'm doing my meet, I don't look at my phone. I'm definitely not looking at Instagram because I want to stay in that mindset because I don't want anything to pull me out, especially if I'm training at the end of the day. Honestly, at any time, whether it be in the morning or at the end of the day, I want to conserve all of that energy towards my top set, towards my work, and it'll let you kind of go in and out. I did notice like there's just some really cool like little gadgets that you can use instead of using your phone's timer that like you can like put it on the squat rack. Like it's like a little like a magnet. You can set the time, right? And instead of looking at your phone because like that's just gonna take away time. Like if you're on social media, you check it for 3 to 5 minutes, you could have done like four sets of something or like three sets of something. So you want to make the most out of your time.
Yes, absolutely. I want to spend a little time on this one because, listen, this is one of the biggest. We're talking time efficiency. The phone is killer, not only in the gym, but throughout your day too. But tell me if this has happened to you. All right, when I train at home, a lot of times if I'm not efficient, I mean, I'm just, what would take me 20 minutes going to the LA Fitness down the road to do accessories would be like hour and a half fiddling around in my place. All right, so a lot of times I just know even if I wasn't using my phone, just the fact that I'm putting myself out there at the commercial gym. I don't want to be sitting on the machines forever because there's like one seated cable row. So I feel like everyone in the world's trying to jump on it. So I'm trying to be efficient. So it's already built in. You're like trying to move along. You're not trying to dilly-dally. So, I mean, I'll literally get even better sessions in 20 minutes than I would at home sometimes, just because that raises my focus level. Is anyone else experienced that? Especially you with home gyms. Anyone with home gyms, if you go out to a gym, you see how more efficient you get. That even happens with me here when I'm trying to do focus work. If I could just go out to Starbucks, I feel like I accomplish the same amount in 20 minutes that I would in like 2 hours here sometimes.
It's more just a setup and breakdown for me, right? Because I have to be pretty creative in the home gym and setting things up. It's going to add 20, 30 minutes to my workout just in that setup and breakdown time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, home gym's tough for that.
I have random people show up sometimes. I don't know what to do about that one because I can't say, if you have company show up. That's when I have done split. So I have like finished all my main stuff and then done accessories later and when they show up.
Gotcha. You want so they show up at random times or something, Darren? Oh, that's a tough one.
Can we come over? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, having a set time I think would benefit everyone, but yeah, I get the dilemma there. The people are just popping in. Hey,
That's when
Coach
you just
Brett.
gotta tell them. Tell
Yeah,
them to come over if you're lifting. Meet me in the gym.
yeah, I would put the lock on him, Darren. Just be like, hey, you can meet me at this time or I'm going.
They won't let you do that in the South.
Yeah, the Southern hospitality.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, Coach Brad, you want to mention how you do split sessions?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of the times, if I don't have mental energy or I'm just having an off day, I will take care of my primary motions just because those are generally a quicker in and out where I have 5 to 10 sets of like more intensity. And then I will, finish that session, maybe come back later that day, go downstairs, pump out a couple of accessories. But generally what I'll do is I'll condense some similar motions. So say I have two tricep motions in my workout, I might take that secondary tricep motion and add two or three sets to it, which is really accomplishing the exact same thing. Instead of, going and setting up a tricep pushdown and then doing a skull crusher. If I know I have skull crushers later in the week, I can probably add two or three sets extra to the skull crushers, maybe reduce the intensity ever so slightly and just chase a pump. And that's probably going to carry me forward. And those are the kind of examples of how I split my stuff.
Very good. Anyone else do split sessions? Is anyone intrigued by the?
I do split sessions because sometimes I'm still working on getting down my like top sets within like a certain time frame, like with the equipment. So sometimes that takes a lot longer than like my raw work, and I don't have enough time for my accessories. So like I've been trying to play around with the rest time and stuff like that. I'll like maybe work it into like the next day so that it doesn't get into like my other work and stuff like that. And I also feel like I feel better doing it. Like I feel like it can bring more intensity to the accessory work when I do it that way, and then I can take my time, have a little bit more fun with it.
Yes, I like that. I like that because I think a lot of the stress we put ourselves on is regarding the main movement. So we remove the main movement and then we're a little bit more relaxed with that approach. It's just going in, feel more of that pump. You're not as fatigued, not as drained. Alan says, I used to when I spent all day in the gym. I feel that, Alan. Yeah, when I was coaching all day in the gym. I would I'd be there pretty much morning, evening. There's a break midday, and I would definitely try to split up sessions as much as I could. Just try to pump out remaining accessories in the evening before I went back. And so I feel that. Court, I have before, but it's just easier for me to do it all at once with the kids. But depending on what my accessories are, I can do some at home too. Yeah, if you're going out to the gym, I definitely agree. Probably easier making a couple trips, just try to get it all done in one chunk of time. So I guess this all really just depends on your schedule too. It's not split sessions isn't the answer for everyone, but definitely a way in which you can bring more focus and intent to what you're doing. I find I do if I do it at any point in time, it's usually that equipped bench session for me during the week because usually Thursday nights I'm over at a gym. By the time I actually get my benching completed, the place is pretty much closing down. So I mean, I'll finish up accessories the next day because I don't really have an option there. But you can just one day a week split up your sessions too. If that helps you if you find that sessions particularly draining. So very good. All right, let's get back to the phone though. The phone probably the biggest killer of them all, because you can easily go from having efficient 2 minute rest periods, 2 to 5 minutes tops, to being there for 15 minutes and you're like, what the hell just happened? And if that's regularly occurring and you're entertaining texts, you're entertaining notifications on social media, emails, whatever it may be. If you're entertaining that stuff during your training time, you could add 30 minutes real quick. Probably way more to 30 minutes, and you're not even realizing it. Or you're realizing it, and then you're mad at yourself. So what I would definitely try to do, guys, and let's try to commit to it this week and see how everyone feels with this. Put your phone, what's the airplane? Course says do not disturb. Is that what it is? Which mode is the right mode? What's the difference too? What the hell is the difference between airplane mode and do just can someone fill me in?
Airplane mode kills all function in and out of the phone, so you're not going to send any signals or receive any signals. Do not disturb kills all notifications to your phone, so you don't get notified that they're coming in.
Gotcha. Thank you, Brad. Cool. So we can put it on do not disturb. Let's do that this week. I've always felt when I put my phone in a little cubby, sessions way more efficient. So let's try to avoid any of those distractions this week. Can we all make a pact to do that? Let's put the phone down. All right, so do not disturb this week. Other distractions, people at the gym. Who runs into a ton of people at your gym and they get chatty with you, and then all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, and all you did was chat at the front desk. Who's done that one before?
I have. So I had to change gyms and I bought oversized headphones so that nobody talks to me. Like people will still talk to you, but they'll probably like slow down a little bit if you have like something big. And I kind of started wearing a hat sometimes to like look down because it was getting a little ridiculous. I felt like the mayor sometimes.
Who's had to have some tough conversations and draw the line with people because it's just too much? Who's had to be like, hey, this is my training time and I really need to focus?
I've been that person.
All the time. Maddie doesn't like it though.
You explain a little bit more, Coach Brad?
No, just like even in public gyms, I was making a joke about telling Maddie it's training time and she didn't like it. But in public gyms, like there's a fine line between being sociable, but you'll have to explain to people that, hey, like I would love to chat, but like keep it for the sauna, keep it for these other times. Like right now I'm trying to keep 60-second rest periods, and as much as I would love to be able to sit here and chat, it's messing with my rest periods. So I'll talk to you later. Text me, whatever, but not right now.
Did you want to add anything, Jeremy? I saw you pop on off the unmute.
I've had to kick my wife and daughter out of the gym a couple times because they'll come in and say hi, and then it becomes chit chat,
Yeah.
distracting.
Hey, you got to draw the lines. That's why I mentioned this because it's your training time. And if you're allowing all that chit chat to take place that is distracting you, that is, it's taken away from your focus, You gotta be a little selfish in that moment and really say, hey, I need to focus in. I need to really put my effort into my training here. We could chat after, you know, draw those boundaries. If you're in a home gym, be like, hey, unless it's really, really important, don't interrupt me for small things here. Do not disturb on the phone. If you go to a gym, listen, it's nice if you have that gym option. We all know that that gym option where like no one knows you and you just want to keep it that way. And you can just get in and out, right? If you don't have that luxury, maybe you just have one gym that you could get to and you don't have the luxury of going to another gym. You have one gym membership. It is what it is. People happen to know you. You have to draw those lines. You know, you can't get caught up in the chit chat because you're there for focused training. Because if you let that unravel, I tell you guys, you don't set those lines early too, then it can quickly get carried away. And then you leave the gym and you're like, man, I did not get much done. I got a lot of chit chat done. I probably had to skip accessories because I had to be out of there and you didn't get much done and it feels shitty. So you have to set those boundaries right off the bat and nip that in the butt. Court says that's honestly why it was kind of hard training with my ex training partner. They were a talker and I never got anything done when I trained with them. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you just got to break out and do your own training then, Court. It's tough. But you got to set those boundaries for sure because, you know, we're talking here about how we can make our training more efficient, how we could get stronger. And this is a really big part of it. And then also guys, thinking about when you're training at work, like if you're trying, if you like got a midday break and you're trying to squeeze something in, but you're kind of on the clock and you're fielding calls and things like that. If you have to do that, then probably best to just try to make that an accessory block. If you have any other option to really focus in on your main movements, do that any other point, time of day. That would be more efficient. But if you have to squeeze it in there, you have to squeeze it in. Try not to get distracted from your phone. Really be efficient with what you're doing. Think about what time frame do I have to train? How am I approaching my warmups? Sometimes you have to go to consolidated warmups. Who gets really caught up in their warm-up process, right? Sometimes I put too much time to my warm-ups, all right? I'll just start feeling out some different movements. I'll start adding some things to that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the warm-up process is taking way too long and I could have been way more direct and efficient with what I was doing. Or I just start doing things that really, if I'm using a SSB bar for the day, and, you know, think about the variations that you're doing. Do I really need to put all this extra tension on my shoulder mobility? All right, if I'm doing feet up bench, do I really need to put all this focus into my normal lower body bench warmups? Right? I try to eliminate those things when I can so that I can be more efficient, very direct. Like, what do I actually need for the day? And let's get in, get it done. But it depends how much time you have, right? If you don't have much time, you got to be efficient with those types of things. Pick two movements, get in, warm up, get it done. Alan, in some cases, it is what makes your training more qualitative. Yes, absolutely.
I'll tell you something you did to my last program that's really helped me on being efficient. You had Mars bar shrugs and then like two other Mars bar exercises back to back. So I didn't have to sit there and switch out the Mars bar for the straight bar and stuff like that. Cause that takes some time. When you did that saved a lot of time. Because that Mars bar is a takeout. I love it on my back, but it is an awkward piece of equipment.
Yeah. So like Darren, anyone on this team, like if you're in a position like that where it doesn't really make sense with the programming, like going from if you're on a Mars bar to then putting a different bar in or a straight bar, or it just takes up a lot of time to do that. So let your coach know so that we can influence the programming. All right, that's a really big one. If it's taking up a lot of time, let us know. Just like in Darren's case, if he already has the Mars bar out, maybe if it's like even alternating weeks, those times he's using the Mars bar, I'm just going to keep him on the Mars bar. And maybe I'd have him doing the same movement with a straight bar if it was a straight bar. But That's going to allow him to be more efficient, more focused with his training. I have to worry about switching bars in and out, having to break down bars and the weight and stuff. So, yeah. So I think we covered some good things here. Does anyone feel like they can become more efficient in their training? We could probably all raise our hands that we could do that. Especially this week, going do not disturb on your phone. Can everyone commit to that? Drop it in the chat. Court, I'm going to try supersets and do not disturb this week. Very good. I like that.
I wish I could on the do not disturb. I'm 24/7 at work if they want to get a hold of me, so can't do it.
Now, I do know, Darren, there are ways to, I think, do the do not disturb, but allow some numbers to come in.
Yeah, I could do that. I could do that.
That'll just help eliminate any notifications or outside distractions. But
I've got my phone kind of filtered like that. So
good, good.
I'll sometimes set it over. I mean, I won't even like, I'll go back and add weights later, things like that. If I'm,
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, you know what I want to do this week? I want to, because you can even see in Train Heroic, if you're going from start to finish, I want you guys to put your before training times up, and then I want you to try to implement something here this week that is going to make you more efficient within your training, and I want you to post the after. How much were we able to condense the sessions down? All right. Only if that's something that you really need to do, because I certainly understand if you want to spend the time in the gym and you have the time to a lot, then that's fine too. If it's not a problem, don't worry about it. But I would also say if we have more time that we can fill with actually doing training and you're not overly fatigued, then let's try to do some more training.
I think with some people that also comes down to their GPP. So they might take a longer rest period because they're dealing with more fatigue than an average person. Like I think of Chris as an example, right? Where like he's never been athletic in his life. So when he's taking rest periods, I constantly have to stay on him about, you know, being efficient in his training, right? Where like I'm programming him and I'm programming him like a good intensity, but like he thinks I'm trying to kill him. And just being aware of that and like finding ways to not push everything to the red line can also help with efficiency. So like with Chris, he tries to hit everything with that max intensity. And sometimes that doesn't, you don't need max intensity on a tricep pushdown. Sometimes you just need to push blood in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good conversation too. What's your GPP levels? How much can you actually take on in training before you're gassing out? Are you pushing yourself too as well? And that comes down to, if you're never pushing yourself and you're resting too long in between, you know, I always want you to attack a set as fresh as possible, but I want you guys to think about this when you're doing your accessories and timing those things out too. Obviously, after you're done with the set, you're going to have that elevated heart rate. How long is it taken before you start to catch your breath and you feel your heart rate get back to where it was and that you can actually attack another set? All right, just be more mindful of that this week. I want you guys to try to push those limits a little bit. So go until you feel that heart rate come back down. All right, I'm good to go. Get back into it. Because a lot of times we're either stretching out way too long, right? Or, you know, in some scenarios, if you're even at the gym, maybe you're rushing into the next one too soon. I've been there too, where I feel like I'm almost rushing into the next set too soon because we do need rest. We do need rest so that we can actually attack the set with full force and get the most out of it. Alan, before entering Big Benches, what's your bench? After you join Big Benches, what's your GPP?
I feel like for myself personally, it's about finding that balance, because I feel like when I extend the rest period for too long, it has the opposite effect of like I start getting tired. Like the mental fatigue starts to settle in. Like, why have I been here for 3 hours and I only did like two working sets? I'm exaggerating, but like I'm saying, like, for example, like the sometimes resting for too long for me personally has like a little bit of an opposite effect. So like I feel like it's a for me again, finding the sweet spot of like, okay, I have like this much energy and I feel better when I exert it within a certain time frame rather than like stretch it out with between like a long period of time and then figuring out which one's the one, which exercises need the longer rest period, and then which ones am I just like really just dragging my feet through and then exhausting myself because now I've just been doing this for way longer than I should have been doing it. And then like the stress starts coming in about other things. Oh, I have these other commitments or this and stuff like that, or it gets too late and all that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Exhaustion can come from a few different areas too, right? It can come from you depleting your glycogen stores, you needing intra-workout carbs if you're doing those longer sessions. It could come from you kicking out of fight or flight because to some degree, anytime we're doing, like our body doesn't know what kind of stimulus it's giving. It just knows that we're in like active conflict when we're lifting. So sometimes if you take longer rest periods, your body can just kick out and you get into a more of a restful state.
Absolutely. All very good points here, guys. So moral of today's call, are we happy with the time we're training? Is it conducive for our schedule? Can we be doing more? And I want you guys to think about where can I avoid distractions, especially? Can I put my phone down on do not disturb? Is that something that's been becoming a problem for me? Do I have to have some tough conversations with people at the gym to give me my space so I can focus in on my training? No, it's all the little things that are going to really help you get more out of your training. All right, so that'll be really important to analyze this week. All right, guys, anyone want to add anything? No? Darren, do you want to tell me a little bit about what was going on last week? How would we set you up for a great week this week?
I had some medical stuff done and just different things, and I didn't get but one workout in, long story short, in the middle of the week. And then I'm like, Sunday, I'm like, I'm getting a workout. I'm getting my heavy deadlifts in, everything. And then I donated blood the day before. And I didn't account for how, and it was like afternoon when I did it, and I didn't account for how much it was going to hit me. I just couldn't. I mean, I tried, but my body just wouldn't let me. It just messed with me.
Gotcha. So that last week doesn't leave a great taste in your mouth. You know, you want more. Wasn't an awesome week. So we got to put that in the rearview window here, focus in on this new week. Sounds like that was more just circumstances of tough timing with everything going on. You know, that'll happen. We've definitely been there, but it's how you change that focus, how you get your mindset focused on this week to crush it this week. And that's going to be the important thing. So I want to see you on Friday's call if you can, Darren, or even Monday. And I would love to hear how this week went in particular.
Yeah. I'm only be able to do two this week, but same. I got some more stuff going on in the middle of the week. But still, I'm going to crush the first one this week. The next one's going to be a lighter workout, but the heavy bench, I'm going to kill it. That's the plan.
Yeah. I want you to hit that with some attitude. I want you to really have a great session, avoid distractions. We're going to turn things around this week. It's all about how you bring your focus to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got this, buddy.
Yeah, I might want to, I know I had a setup to meet next week. I might want to move it to this week because I need to discuss kind of peaking. I might want to go back on some of like the deadlifts and stuff like that and not peak next week because of some stuff I'm having done. I don't know that I can pull the heavy weight for a week or two.
Yeah, that's no problem. I mean, you can always go to a lighter load on the next week. You don't have to end on a RPE 9. If it's not conducive for setting that up, we can just string that along into the next block. So
okay,
it's not a big deal. Yeah, if you guys know ahead of time that if we're on a heavy week and you're like, it's not a conducive week to try to go heavy. You just have like a lot of life stressors or you're trying to squeeze the workouts in. And it's just set up very different than how a normal training week would be. Yeah, always just let your coach know. And especially we could just string that along into the next block and then, you know, peak it, prime it for the next block. So thank you for letting me know that, Darren.
Yeah.
We could switch that around.
Yeah, I'm going to move. We were going to sync up next week. I'm going to move it to this week, if that's okay. So we can discuss that and kind of get.
Yeah.
I got other things, travel coming up. I need to just get with you.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right.
All right, guys. Anyone else want to bring anything up? No? All right. Well, thank you for being here, Coach Steph, Coach Brad, Jeremy, Darren, Alan, all the way from Castlevania. And Court, I appreciate you guys very much for joining me live on the call today. We had some really great wins. Another shout out to Dr. Duke getting a big bench, hitting some state records in Missouri. He's been crushing it, 320 bench raw. Very impressive stuff. So want to give a shout out to him again. Appreciate y'all very much. Let's have a great week of training and let's avoid distractions. Even if it's not about condensing time, let's just try to bring more focus and intent to what we're doing. All right, let's really think about that this week. If you take anything away from this, just think about how can I be more efficient in my training and bring better focus. All right, real important. All right, I appreciate y'all very much. And I will see you on Friday. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you found this helpful, I'm looking for powerlifters who want to add over 10 pounds to their lifts in the next 30 days. If you've been struggling to make progress or have been lacking motivation, let's chat. Message me next level at Big Benches on Instagram. See you next show.